God sent his son. They called him Jesus. He came to love, heal, and forgive. And he my Savior lives, and because he lives, I can face tomorrow, because he lives. All fear gone, because I know who holds my future, and life is worth the living just because. And joy he gives. Oh, but greater still, that calm assurance that this child can face uncertain days, because he lives, and because he lives, I can face tomorrow.
Oh, I like that message.
Because
he lives,
he lives,
I can face tomorrow. You know what? I can face whatever comes down the pipe. Because Jesus lives. Because Jesus lives. Welcome to Open Bible Dialogue, Open Bible Telecast, Open Bible Radio Broadcast. Well, we're just going in every direction we can possibly go in, because we live in at the time of the end. And I want to help you grab every little thing out of this Bible you can and set your heart on it. Let me say to all the great ladies out there, Happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day. God bless every mother. There is nothing more accountable to God than being a mother. And I pray you take it with seriousness and raise that child to serve the Lord. I've been praying for my great grandbabies. I've got 3 great grands now. And I've been praying that God will give them a heart for him. A heart for him. And that probably depends on the mother, if they're going to really have a heart for God. And I'm praying for that. I really am. So happy Mother's Day. And we're going to talk today about a heavenly city. A heavenly city. Now, a city that is literal. The city of God. Do you understand that right now in the furthest extremes of the stratosphere, I guess stratosphere, hemisphere, I'm not sure what's the right word there, universe, in the further extreme of the north, there is a city, a little city, a little city. The Bible says the mansions are ivory palaces. I don't know that all of them are ivory palaces. I'm sure there's many different features of their construction, but everything is beautiful. And there's a city up there, and it's called the City of God. the city of God. I preached that at a funeral service yesterday for Doris Judd. Doris Judd, I hope I pronounced that name right. She's a stepdaughter of one of our great members. I mean, one of the old timers, James Lindsay. He's 91 now, and this was his stepdaughter. And just a beautiful family. I love every one of them. I'm reaching out to them with all my heart. And I was privileged, and I preached somewhat of what I'm going to talk about today. That was kind of in my plans. Didn't know it until I got to digging for the subject today, and it just fit right in. You know, there is a city up there, and it's the city of God. Let me read to you in the Bible. I don't establish nothing on anything that we talk about on this broadcast but the Bible. You hear me on internet or Facebook or on a cassette or in a booklet or in church or in a CD or DVD. I'm going to talk about the Bible. The Bible is the literal Word of God. Remember 2 weeks ago, we did a program on the supernatural Word of God, the miracle of the supernatural Word of God. Last week, the miracle of the blood, the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And today is the miracle of the city of God, the city of God. Can you imagine that glorious city up there? There's nothing in this world that even compares to it. Las Vegas is a sin capital. Los Angeles is a compromised sodomite capital. New York City is a little bit of both. And all around the world, you got people bragging on this city and this site and that site. I'm waiting to see the real site. That's the site of the heavenly city, the heavenly Jerusalem. That's the name that the Bible gives this city of God, the heavenly Jerusalem. You see, Jerusalem in the Middle East was named after the city of God in the heavens. That's exactly right now. Establish that with your mind. The city, the capital in Jerusalem, that our fine president declared as the place for our embassy. Isn't that beautiful? Finally, one nation in all the world declares Jerusalem as the capital and moves their embassy there. I pray that others will start soon. But thank God for the president doing that remarkable, biblical, grand, how do I say it enough, thing to declare Jerusalem the place for the United States embassy. I am so delighted. Well, let me read to you from the Bible. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. Now notice, in the city of our God, in the city of our God. See, the Bible don't say things just for rhetoric or just to get your attention or just to create theological systems. The Bible is the theological system. It is the Word of the living God. So in the city of our God. Now notice, in the mountain of His holiness. In the mountain of His holiness. Beautiful for situation. Is the joy of the whole earth. The joy. It used to really be. People used to talk about heaven and talk about the city of God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and it was a big part of theology. But it isn't any longer. I don't know where that failed. I don't know whether that dropped out of the thinking of men and women in the Bible, except the Bible isn't taken very seriously anymore, but I take it seriously. Beautiful for situation. The joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion. See, the word Zion is a euphemism for Jerusalem. Is Mount Zion on the sides of the north. Now, on the sides of the north. You got to understand the very northern extremity of this entire universe, at the very place where they talk about the different things occurring. I want you to understand that's where God's city is, and it's breathtaking. You've heard of the northern lights? Well, they are not anything but a reflection of the city of God in the northern. Says on the north side of the mountain. I like that. On the side of the north. The city of the great King. The city of the great King. Jesus Christ. God the Father. God the Holy Ghost. God is known in her palaces as a refuge or for a refuge. God is known in her palaces. You'll read in the Bible of the angels around the throne declaring, holy, holy, holy. You notice they always say holy in a threesome. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. Holy to the Father, holy to the Son, and holy to the Holy Ghost. Ah, I tell you, the Bible is a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful book. United together, it cannot be separated. It cannot be separated. It is indeed beautiful. Now, you understand, we're going to talk today about that city that's called the City of God. The City of God, the northern extremity of the universe, the stratosphere. Up there at the very peak of everything, the North Pole always points to that place. And the earth, as it revolves around the great stratosphere, it always moves in such a manner that the North is ever maintained. I mean, it has to be a northern connection between this earth and the north parts, because that's where the light comes from. That's where the electricity comes from. That's where all of the energy comes from. When Jesus said, I'm the light of the world, he didn't mean he was a spiritual light of the world. He meant he was the literal light of the world. You read the book of Genesis, and you'll find the light didn't come on the day God created the sun. The light came on when God said, let there be light. It was the light of the world. It beamed from the second member of the divine Godhead. Jesus Christ is the light of the world. And so it's all a beautiful picture of our great God in his great universe, and God that controls it. Even politicians don't serve because people elect them. God chooses them and sets up one and puts down another. We got some terrible presidents because we deserved them. Our sins were so erratic and so horrible. And God gave us a good one because we got a lot of people praying. You say sometimes sometimes he's a bulldog in a china closet. I admit that. But my gracious, when you've had as many wimpies as we've had over the last elections, it kind of feels good to have a bulldog up there for a while. You know, somebody that stands up for something and will fight with whoever wants to fight with him and keep on surviving. Thank God, and that is by the grace of God. Now, remember, I want you to hear this. I want to say it again. Heavenly Jerusalem is a literal city. It is a literal city. And could I tell you something? That every saved person from Adam and Eve until the present, right now, every saved person, their soul in some bodily form or some expression form, and I don't know exactly what it is. Nobody knows. The Bible don't tell us. They're right up there now in heavenly Jerusalem. Your loved one that was a saint of God is up there in heavenly Jerusalem. Your mother who lived a pure life is up there in heavenly Jerusalem. Your grandmother, your grandfather, your great-grandmother, I mean, whoever they are, if they lived for God and now they've gone on, they're not dead, they're asleep. The bodies are asleep, but the spirits are alive. The souls and spirits are alive, and they're waiting the glorious moment of that rapture when he comes back to get their bodies. Hallelujah. What a resurrection that's going to be. In the graveyard yesterday, as I said the final words over Doris and tried to encourage her family to leave there with a feeling of some degree of satisfaction, I said, you know, this cemetery is a dark, dreary place. I don't care about cemeteries, but let me tell you something. It won't be long until they're going to be the center of more supernatural activity and supernatural power. The cemeteries of the world, if they've got as much as one saint of God buried in their surface, is going to come alive, and God is going to resurrect the dead. Did you know that Isaiah said 3,000 years ago, some give or take, he said that the earth shall cast out the dead. The earth shall cast out the dead. Oh, friends, I'm telling you, heavenly Jerusalem is real. Now, you got to understand how beautiful heavenly Jerusalem is. And I read it to you. I mean, I it's a song. Did you know that? Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountains of his holiness. It goes on. I'm not doing good with singing. You know me that well. But I want to tell you, that city is real. That city is genuine. Now, let me give you some things. I'm going to give you a lot of things today, and I'm going to ask you to get on your phones. Let me hear from you. You can ask any question you want to. Don't mean I always have an answer, but it means I'll do my best to find you an answer if I have to give it to you next week. I've been doing this 44 years, going on 45. And so I don't ever embarrass myself and say I can answer every question, because I'm not that smart. I just believe the Bible. But we'll find an answer if it's in the Bible. And you know, if you ask a question that is it doesn't fit the biblical subject, I'm not even going to try to answer. Well, the Bible doesn't speak, only fools dare to tread. You know, I've been saying that for many, many years. Where the Bible doesn't speak, only fools dare to tread. And I agree with that. And I live by that. And that's how I've survived these 40-some years and kept on being right here on your radio and now on your internet and now on your Facebook. Hey, call your friends and get them listening, will you? Everybody, share it. Share it. You can share this internet program, Facebook program, in just a click or two. And you don't know who you might be a blessing to. You don't know who might get saved today, who might get right with God, who might decide they want to go to heaven instead of hell. You know, you got to decide whether you want to go to heaven or hell. And you're already making that decision. You say, I made no decision. Well, then your no decision is a decision for hell. When you decide nothing, when you go on and refuse to make any commitment, when you refuse to decide, then you are already deciding, because you do not desire to decide. Okay, you understand that? You were born in sin. You were shaped in iniquity. There is a warrant out for your arrest, or for your death, I should say. There's a warrant out by the devil to cast you into his hell. I mean, I'm here to tell you, there's a warrant out for you. But Jesus signed your pardon. This I truly know. He took your place at Calvary. Now, you don't have to go. Remember that old song written by my great pastor friend, C.S. Grogan? Hey, friend, I want to tell you something. Jesus did sign your pardon. Now, again, I'm trying to get to another thought here, and I got too much to say. Jesus, when he came to the earth to be born of the Virgin Mary, he came from the city. You got to understand, Jesus lived in this city with his Father, the only begotten Son, from eternity. Jesus Christ lived in this city of God, a literal city where God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost dwell, a multiplicity of angels. And now every great saint of God who rests in peace is waiting there consciously now, not unconscious, but consciously waiting for the glorious moment of the resurrection. Now Jesus came from that city. Jesus had to decide. God the Father gave his only begotten Son. So Jesus willingly gave his consent for the Father to send him from heaven down to the earth. You got to understand that. Jesus made it plain. I didn't come of myself. My Father sent me. Jesus even said very plainly that I don't speak my own words. I speak what the Father gave me to say. There's a marvelous relationship between the Father and his Son. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. So Jesus came from heaven. Are you get that? Do you get that now? Can you plant that in your little mind? That beautiful, little, heavenly city that's right up there, that's where Jesus had been for all eternity. And he came because he came at the Father's request. The Father gave him the privilege of dying or not dying. You remember Jesus saying that? He made it plain, the Father has given me the right to choose death or to choose not to die. But Jesus chose death because he did it for you. Now, the fact that he chose to come down and lived approximately 33 years, and then he went back to the same city. This literal city is where Jesus is right now. He ascended back up to the Father. The Father gave him praise and a name above all names, and honored him for the marvel of his life and for the majesty of his miracles and for the result of his death. I mean, it was all marvelous. Remember, the Father spoke on two occasions, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." Where did he speak from? He spoke from heaven, that city up there where he dwells and where we know is the heavenly city. And Jesus came down from that city and then he went back to that city. He went back to that city to sit on the right hand of the Father. Now, where is Jesus right now? He's in that heavenly Jerusalem. Heavenly Jerusalem. He is seated at the Father's right hand. He is the high priest of every living soul who has surrendered to him on this earth and willing to be the high priest of every unsaved person on this earth. And he pleads our cause before the Father. And when there is a need of a reason for an answer, he points to his blood that's on the altar right there in heaven, right there in heavenly Jerusalem, right there in the heavenly temple. I mean, these things are really real. And when you begin to grab them and begin to make them a part of your thinking and your life, it changes everything about you. It gives you a perspective that's almost unreal. It's almost beyond the ability to deal with, is that we've got a heavenly city up there. It's a literal city. It's a beautiful city. It's a city that value is not even ability. Nobody can value the little gold and silver and stuff we got down here. Wouldn't fit a trash can compared to that city. And it is outstanding. And Jesus went back there. Now, let me read that to you. Are you sure, Brother Chambers, that Jesus went back there? I sure am. Let me read it to you in the Bible. "And when he had spoken these things while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfast toward heaven," "as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus," I feel like shouting, "this same Jesus," "this same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into the heavens." Now, friend, you're talking about a literal city that Jesus went back to sit in the temple, to sit beside the Father on the right side of his Father, and to plead our cause, the right hand of God, and to plead our cause. Have you got some great burden? Well, claim the blood of Jesus, that the Lord Jesus will plead the cause for you and make petition to the Father. That's his duty. That's one of the great things that God has elevated him to do until the end of the church dispensation. Oh, what a joy we have. And so Jesus is up there waiting for the Father to tell him to come back and get us. Waiting for the Father to tell him. Jesus said, "I don't know the time of my coming. Only the Father knows the time of my coming." Somebody says there's no such thing as a Trinity. Well, why did Jesus say only the Father knows and I don't know? If they're the same person, they'd have to know the same thing. And in many cases, they will to know the same things. But in some cases, they are not will to know the same things. And they have that. That shows how God is omnipotent. Did you know that? How God is omnipotent, far above your ability to grasp. So now we know that the same heavenly city, that's literal, that's really up there, is where Jesus came from. We know that he came and was born of the Virgin, conceived by the Holy Ghost as a baby planted in that womb. He stayed there 9 months until he fully developed, and he came forth the divine Son of God. I said the divine Son of God, and of course lived out his life 33 years. Why did he die so young? Because our pain wore him out. Because the burdens that he carried wore him out. Because the suffering facing him of the cross, wore him out. He was under the passion with the joy that was set before him. He endured the cross, despising the shame, the Bible says, and is set down at the right hand of the Father on high. Now, you got to understand, he said something really powerful before he left, and I want to read it. I want you to see the things that I'm saying because they are breathtaking. Before Jesus was crucified, now this is before he was crucified, before he was nailed to the cross. This was before he rose from the dead. He's talking to his disciples, and they were under a pain. Something was about to happen. They didn't understand it. They couldn't figure it out. Before I go any further, would you grab your phone? I want to hear some questions from you. 704-391-0588. I'll put it up a minute, okay? 704-391-0588 and 1-800-338-7884. Now grab your phone. Grab your phone. If you don't understand this, you may have heard some old crazy doctrine. You may have heard some things that make no sense. Let me help you with them, will you? Let me show you what the Bible says. Because all I'm going to do is give you the Bible. I don't argue from my perspective. I argue from the Bible. I debate from the Bible. I believe every word of it. And so I would love to hear from you. I really would. I would love to hear from you. It would be my joy. Now, before Jesus was crucified, before he died on the cross, he said, let not your heart be troubled. This is St. John 14:1. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, in the Father, then believe also in me. Ye believe in the Father, believe also in me. That's another proof of the Trinity. In my Father's house are many mansions. In my Father's house are many mansions. All right, do you hear what he's saying? In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. If it were not so, I would have told you. Now look at verse 3. Verse 2. I go to prepare a place for you. Wait a minute. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. Now, you can't prepare something if it's already been prepared. You could say, I have prepared a place, but that's not what Jesus said. He said, I go, I'm leaving here to go back to heaven to prepare a place for you. Now, we know that what he did, he went back and he built, he made, he created, however you want to say it, he created New Jerusalem. Now, New Jerusalem is a city separate from heavenly Jerusalem. Right now, they're up there in proximity with one another. How they're situated, I'd like to know. I'd like to go up there and come back and tell you all about it. I've even asked God to let me go up there and come back and tell you all about it, and he hasn't listened to me yet. And I probably, you know, I'm not worthy of such a thing to begin with. And I know that. It wouldn't be by goodness, it'd be by grace if it ever would happen to anybody. It happened to Apostle Paul. The Bible says Apostle Paul told about somebody going and seeing paradise. He called it paradise, and they were not allowed to come back and tell it because it was too breathtaking. I don't think there would be any English words to describe it to start with. Yeah, you could talk about beautiful, and you could tell all kinds of things you see, but Jesus said, I'm going to prepare a place. Now, why did Jesus say at this point before he died on the cross, I'm going to prepare a place for you? Well, it's one simple answer. The place he was going to prepare was a redemptive city, a city that's wrought by the blood of Jesus Christ. The price for this city called New Jerusalem, now not heavenly Jerusalem, but New Jerusalem, the price for that city was his death on the cross. The price of that city was his death on the cross. Now, I want you to get that. The price of that city that we now call New Jerusalem was the death of Jesus on the cross. I'm going to prepare a place for you. He could not prepare it prior to this time because he had not yet shed his blood on the cross. But once he shed his blood on the cross, then he had the legal and absolute right, judicial right, to go and create a city, a redeemed city. Now you see, the devil was at one time in the heavenly Jerusalem. The devil certainly has walked every step of the ground on this earth. And the devil's going to be judged for every bit of that. And we're going to have a new heaven and a new earth. And the reason we've got to have a new heaven and a new earth is because this one has been contaminated. And Satan even contaminated the present heavenly Jerusalem. Remember Jesus said, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. You remember Jesus said that in the book of John? I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Well, Jesus went back to create a redemptive city. This is a city that is for the redeemed. The devil could no more get in the front door or the back door or the side door. He couldn't crawl through the attic. He couldn't come up through the roof. He cannot touch that city. He cannot get close to that city. It's a redeemed city. It was created by the death of Jesus on the cross. And when you and I go into the city of New Jerusalem, we will be in the most marvelous and beautiful redeemed place this world has ever heard about. I hope you're listening to me. I hope you're hearing what I'm saying. So Jesus, when he died and was resurrected, then had the rights to go to heaven and create a new city. And he went and created New Jerusalem. How you know, Brother Chambers? Jesus went there approximately 33 A.D., 33, something like that, maybe 33 and a half, maybe 30, 32. It's not absolutely settled and definite. We just know he died in approximately 33 years and was either born in 0 years or born a year or two prior to that. And the argument, we won't get into that, but we know about AD 30. Well, in AD 90, approximately, and again, that date is uncertain, but pretty fixed as being 90, that means 60 years later, John the Revelator was on the Isle of Patmos. He'd been put there as a criminal offense, not because he did a crime, but because he preached Jesus and the Bible and the truths of God. I'm sorry, and healed, and they were trying to get rid of him, couldn't kill him. I think they boiled him in oil and he wouldn't die. I don't remember all that history says happened, but all I can tell you is 60 years later, John saw it. He saw what Jesus said he was going to create. He saw what Jesus said he was going to do. So we don't have any doubt about it. John gave such a description. He saw it like a vision. He saw it as a beautiful drama in front of him. In fact, you can go to Revelation chapter 21 and see one of the most marvelous verses. I always love reading this for people. This is Revelation chapter 21. Let me see here, find my place, and this verse 10. Listen, this is an angel now, and this is John, and he carried me, John's talking, and he said, and he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. Hallelujah. So John sees this great city. Notice God had to take him to an exceeding high mountain to show him the city. Now, why did God have to take him up in a mountain? Because a city that's 1,500 miles high and 1,500 miles wide, and you're standing 100 feet from it, you might see 50 miles. Maybe 25 miles. You just see a little tidbit of it. But the angel took him on a big old mountain, high mountain. I mean, it must have been a mountain probably 10 miles high. I mean, it was high enough that he could see the whole city. Hallelujah. Take me there, Lord. I want to see that city. Well, I'll see it probably when I die and not before, but that'll be soon enough. I love the thoughts of that city. I'll move those phone numbers. I'm sorry, I forget those things. And my wife was here. She'd come in and tell me. She kept me straight. Mother's Day without mother is not easy. I want you to know that. My first one is tomorrow. But God will take care of me, and I'll survive it. And I'm going to keep my eyes on the goal. I'm going to keep my eyes on the end of the journey. I can hardly wait for the end of this journey. It's going to be something else. Now, I'm getting off the track there. I'm reading about this heavenly Jerusalem. This Jerusalem that's literal and that's real right now. And if you are right with God, and you're really living for Christ, and you would die, you'd be there in a flash. You'd be there in a flash. I'll guarantee you, my sweetheart wife is up there enjoying all the great people we knew, great saints of God. It's got to be something grand. It's got to be something grand. Now, I know I'm just talking myself away, and I haven't even got started. Really, when you think about all the beauty of this place, all the marble, and he's got the new Jerusalem ready. It's up there somewhere in the proximity of the heavenly Jerusalem. They both are up there now and waiting, because the new Jerusalem doesn't come down until the end of the thousand-year millennial reign. There'll be a rapture. There'll be a seven-year tribulation period. There'll be the Battle of Armageddon. And then there'll be the millennial reign. Joey Yates is going to teach those four things at our camp meeting in the last week of June. On Tuesday, he's going to teach about the rapture, the imminence of the rapture. On Wednesday, he's going to teach about the seven-year tribulation period. On Thursday, he's going to teach about the great Battle of Armageddon when Christ returns to the earth. And then on Friday, that's one. On Friday, he's going to teach about the thousand-year millennial reign. The thousand-year millennial reign. And we're going to have questions and answers. I'm going to lead the question and answer session. Joey and I will answer questions. We'll try to stay there as long as we can till the ladies come to get us to feed us, because they feed us those 4 days in our cafeteria here. That's complimentary. You got a picture there. That's just breathtaking. Well, the new Jerusalem doesn't come down until the end of that thousand-year millennial reign. I mean, we've got so much in front of us to enjoy and to experience. Anybody that's not a Christian is crazy. Don't take offense to that. I didn't mean that ugly. But if you're not a Christian, you're just not using your noggin. You're not using your head. If you're not a Christian, you're wasting your life, and you're facing eternity without God in a lake of fire. How foolish can you be? Turn around. Turn around. It's later than you think, friend. Oh, I beg of you to turn around. Turn around. Turn around. Well, when you think about that city that he could not prepare until he died on the cross. It is a redemptive city. I love to say that. It is a redemptive city. And the devil has never been there. Let me take a call here. You are on the air. Let me make sure you're on the air. May I help you, please?
Yes, sir. Pastor, I am thoroughly enjoying the broadcast today.
Boy, I'm telling you, I'm on a roll. I think I could preach.
Yes, sir. Go right on ahead. I had a question. The subject you're talking about today, New Jerusalem that comes down from God out of heaven.
Right. I'm talking first about the literal heavenly Jerusalem that's up there right now.
Yes, sir.
All right. Go ahead with your question.
My question is this. In our city of Charlotte, it seems that we are overtaken by the doctrine of dominion theology. Where in Scripture do they get basis for the doctrine that the culture of heaven is coming to earth? We are going to bring it down.
Well, it is the most foolish doctrine. And when you think about it, it goes right back to the very beginning. The devil tried to convince men that if he'd eat this forbidden fruit, he'd be wise like God. And he would know everything about the things of God. And because they have this crazy wisdom that has come from the prince of darkness, the devil, they get all kinds of imagination. See, the mind is a mighty force of tremendous imaginations if it's not a mind that's sanctified by the blood and that's full of the Bible. When you don't have the Bible in your mind, the devil's going to put his thoughts in your mind. And that's what the devil has done. And dominion theology, that the church can set up a one-world Christian government and bring Jesus back to the earth, is probably the craziest idea. But it really dates back to about the second century, because that's what the Catholic Church developed, is this idea of post-millennialism. That's an older name for it, post-millennialism. Now it's called dominion theology, kingdom now theology, some different names. But it's all the same thing. It comes from the devil when men think they can take the place of God.
Yes, sir. I appreciate that answer. And I want everybody out there in Radio Land to hear what you're saying, because it is a voice of truth amidst all of the false doctrine.
Well, you know, there's so little real truth out there today. It breaks my heart. And I am so simple. When I was saved 66 years ago, the first thing they did back then was bring a good Bible teacher who was a prophecy person who'd studied the book of Revelation, which every pastor ought to do himself. And they'd bring them in and they were teachers. And I was taught that from the time I was 16. And it all got in me. And the Church of God, the denomination Church of God, had some of the greatest Bible teachers and preachers back then that the world's ever seen. I mean, some of the very best. But then you go back even further, you've got great men that have always taught these truths. The things I teach, nothing I teach is new. Nothing I teach is new. It's been taught so many times by great men. But I thank you for your call. Any further question?
God bless you, Reverend Chambers.
God bless you, my friend. You know, there's no question about it. It's sad, some of the mess we got out there today and how crazy it is. And I'm here to answer your question. I'm not here to put down those people. The fact is, it doesn't matter who you are and it doesn't matter how smart you are. If you don't keep your mind saturated with the Bible and keep yourself under the shadow of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost of God, the human mind, the human person is able to go in 1,000 different directions. And you've got imaginations out there today. I love the scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, where it says that we do not wrestle with flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. I'm telling you, there's some dark stuff out there, and I don't want nothing to do with it. All right, let's go on, and you can call right now, 704-391-0588, or the toll-free number, 1-800-338-7884. Now, it's overwhelming to know that this city of heavenly Jerusalem is right up there right now. And God the Father is sitting on His throne, and Jesus is at His right hand, and all the great saints are enjoying themselves all over that great expanse. How big is that heavenly city? It's probably bigger than this whole earth put together. Who knows how big it is. I know it's on the sides of the north, and I know when those northern lights come on, it is a spectacular display. It really is, because all the electricity and energy of this entire universe feeds right out of the north, where Jesus is the light of the world. I mean, people who don't believe in Christ don't understand. They don't even live and exist apart from Christ. If He would withdraw His hand, you'd be dead in a flash. I mean, it's just that absolute and that certain. Now, I want to hear from you. I want to hear from you. He will not come down till the 1,000 years are over. I'm trying to see what I've said and what I haven't said. My friend, it's going to be something beautiful. Now, let's talk about that heavenly city. What is happening right now in the heavenly city of New Jerusalem? Well, the heavenly city of New Jerusalem right now is like a giant camp service. It's like a giant camp meeting. It's like a great heavenly church atmosphere. It's like a place where all the godly are, and there's no wickedness. Nobody's dressed like a, you know. Oh, I look at the way people dress today, and I think, my, do they not know we're supposed to be on our way to the city of God? Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. You ought to dress right now like you expect to dress when you get there. Because the Bible said, as a tree falleth, so shall it lie. If you die in your sins, you're going to face God in your sins. If you die disobedient, you're going to face God in disobedience. There's no other change. There's no change between here and there. I'll never forget, I went to a funeral some time ago, and this little young lad that I like him, he graduated from this school, but he never would change from his religious background to our Pentecostal and Book of Revelation teaching. And he's a preacher, and he was up telling the people about this man who just died. And he said, no, he didn't live real pure down here, but he's pure now. How in the world does a preacher say something so ignorant? I thought to myself, kid, are you dumb or are you dumber than dumb? You know, to tell somebody that they can leave here living an old wicked life and wind up there pure and holy, it isn't possible. It ain't going to happen. I'm here to tell you, if you want to go to heaven, you better get your soul washed in the blood. washed in the blood. The blood will wash away your sins and make a new creature out of you. You want that? You want to get ready to go? Well, all the saints of God are up there right now. And they are, did you know that heaven is protected, the heavenly city is protected by an innumerable company of angels. When they threw the devil out, I'm telling you, they cast him and all of his evil out. And you know what Revelation tells us about? It's a beautiful chapter, chapter 12 of Revelation, because the devil right now, see, was cast out of heaven, out of the heavenly Jerusalem, where God's throne is. The devil was cast out of that. Well, he was cast down into what we now know is the second heavens. That's, we live in the first realm of the first heavens. God exists in the realm of the third heavens, and all the distance in between is every bit of it the result of sin. Every bit of the distance between the first heaven and the third heaven is the result of sin. And when God begins to judge this earth, the Bible said all of that's going to vanish like a scroll. It's going to roll away. And during the 7-year tribulation period, people on the earth will be able to look up and see us up there shouting and praising God. They'll hear the rumbles of the multitude of godly people praising God. The angels singing together with the saints. Oh, you talk about something grand. And you're living trashy and worldly and cheap. Come on, friend. Let's change the way you live. Give your heart to God. Get yourself right with Christ. Begin to live right. We've noticed, when somebody gets saved today, the devil takes out the stops, buddy. He goes after them with all of his fury, determined to destroy them. I find that many people in churches just can't stand somebody to come over here to church because they really get the truth. They get it double-barreled. We're just laying it out there for people. Just what the Bible says. Why would we want anything else? Now, there will be no impurity in that city. Do you understand me when I tell you? There will be no drunkards up there. There'll be no sodomites up there. There'll be no same-sex marriage up there. None of the crowd that live like that are going to go unless they repent. Of course, they can repent. And we want to ever hold out the invitation. Turn to Christ. Turn away from that way you're living. Turn away from that cheap stuff. It isn't worth your time. It isn't worth your attention. It may seem joyous for the moment, but the one thing about the pleasures of the world, you got to have them tomorrow. Even if you've had them all day today, because they never satisfy. They only fill you with a moment of pleasure. Jesus is alone the one who satisfies. Holiness is the character of that city. Are you listening to me? Holiness is the character of that city. When I begin to think about heavenly Jerusalem and all those wonderful things, it really is overwhelming to me. Now, I want to take you. The Bible shows us over here in Revelation that the temple in heaven is going to be open. The temple in heaven is going to be open. Let me read a little bit of that for you. And after this, I looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven. Behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was open. And the seven angels came out of the temple, having the seven plagues, clothed in pure and white linen, and having their breastplates girded with golden girdles. And one of the four beasts gave unto those seven angels seven golden vials full of the wrath of God, which liveth forever and forever. So this is the point in Revelation that God is cleaning up this earth. He's doing the final cleaning up of this mess down here. And so the temple of God in heaven is open. And there is the tabernacle, the testimony, this Bible. This is it. It'll be right there, not the King James Version, but the originals from God. The copy God had before he gave it to Holy Ghost-filled men to write it. Did you know that? God has the copy of the Bible in heaven. Oh, it's not King James. It's not an earthly version. It's the heavenly version. We have the earthly that he has given to us through godly men. And they wrote it, and the Holy Ghost preserved it, and it's pure and it's perfect. But the copy we're going to see up there is the original. And you know what the Bible says about that original? It's forever settled in heaven. There's no messing with it. There's no messing with him. And when you get up there, you're not going to be judged by some Bible that a bunch of liberal backslid preachers got ready for you, okay? You're not going to be judged by some Bible that a bunch of so-called elitist professors in backslid seminaries have put together to try to deceive you with a new version. Oh, no, that's not the one you're going to be judged by. You're going to be judged by the original which this came from. You're going to be judged by original, which every truth came from. God's eternal truth before he gave it to man. I mean, God has the copy. Oh, I tell you, there's so much beautiful about all of this that I sit here jumping up and down. Can you tell that? Reverend Chambers, are you 82? I sure am, but I'm full of the Holy Ghost. That makes the difference. Do you understand? It ain't me. It isn't me. It's not me. But I'm telling you, we are one blessed people. Now, the Bible is perfect. I gotta have these last minutes with you. The Bible is perfect. The blood of Jesus is absolutely perfectly sufficient. Absolutely perfectly sufficient. Everything you could want is right here in the great realm of God's graces and God's blessings. You don't have to live cheap. You don't have to live defeated. You say, I'd live the Christian life if I thought I could live it. Nobody can live it by themselves. I couldn't live it. Nobody else could live it. But when you get saved and you're born again, he writes all this in your heart. He fills your mind with his thoughts. He separates inside of you from the old life, the old man, the old person, and makes you a new man, a new woman, a new person. And you can now live clean and pure because the Holy Spirit has come in. See, you can't be saved without the Holy Spirit. When you are converted, the Holy Spirit takes up residence in your life, and he affects your mind, and he deals with your heart, and you got to listen and grow, and he'll help you mature until you be amazed at what a believer he can make out of you. Oh, you ought to have seen me before God got a hold of me. What a mess I was. What a mess I was. Thank God for his grace. I never cease to thank him that he saved this old wretch. Now, I want you on the phones. We got time. I've had one good call, but I'd like to have a 4 or 5 in the next few minutes. Grab your phone, 704-391-0588. 704-391-0588. There you are. 1-800-338-7884. I want to hear from you. I want to also give you a booklet of this broadcast. A booklet. We make a booklet every Saturday to give you of the broadcast so we can spread this good material all over the universe. Now, this booklet is on the internet. If you go to you go to www.paulcreek.org. www.paulcreek.org. You don't even have to have the www. Paulcreek.org, not com now, .org. Paulcreek.org. Have you got that? PAWCREEK.org. Now, if you'll put that on and your radio station doesn't have the program some Saturday, you go right on the internet, go to paulcreek.org, you stream right down on the front page, and you'll see an icon where Open Bible Dialogue is available. And at 1 o'clock Eastern Standard Time every Saturday, I'll be sitting right here and I'll be talking personally. You can see and hear both on the internet every Saturday. We got listeners all over the world. We got watchers all over the world. And then Facebook is addition to that. And radio is addition to that. And you need to get in here and study this Bible with me. I'm dealing right now with some of the great miracles of the Scripture and the miracles of the Bible, the miracles of God. It's all overwhelming to me. I mean, I live in this book. I love studying this book, and I want you in the middle of it. I really do. Now, I got the lines open, and I want you on the call. I want you. You may agree with everything and just want to say something about it that's exciting. You may have learned something in weeks past, and you want to talk about it a minute. You may have a question about something in the Bible, and you want Brother Chambers to kind of talk with you about it. I would love it. I really would. So I'm waiting on you. 704-391-0588. And I'm going to sit here and kind of depend on you and push you a little bit to get your question on the line. I know the value of good questions being asked on the line, because there are so many people who won't ask questions, but they would like to ask them, and you may do it for them. You may think nobody else is interested, but most likely if you've got a question, there are several other people who have the same question. And I really very sincerely want you to get all of these great truths. I want you to understand that heaven is really real. Heaven is really real. And Jesus has gone up there and prepared the place. And at some very moment, he's going to step out up there, and old Gabriel's going to blow that trumpet. And it's going to wake up the dead, friend. When he blows that trumpet, I'm here to tell you, this earth is going to go into smithereens. It's going to be the most breathtaking moment of history when all of a sudden millions are caught up in the air to meet the Lord Jesus. And he said it's going to happen. And you say, oh, I'm not sure of that. Well, if you're not sure of it, it's because you don't believe the Bible. I mean, if you don't believe the Bible, you're sure of nothing anyway. If you don't believe the Bible, you're just living by chance. You're just living on a hope so, maybe so, reckon so. Maybe it will, maybe it won't. And I mean, if I was living like that, I'd go crazy. I mean, really, I couldn't handle it. I know where I'm going. I know he's coming. I know it's going to be a blessed moment, and I want you to be ready. Now, we'd love to send you this booklet. All you got to do is call, and we've got ladies in the office here answering the phone. They'll help you. If you want to talk with me, they'll put you on hold and tell me, and I'll answer, and we'll talk about whatever will help you, whatever will bless your life, whatever will get a hold of you. And don't ever forget, Jesus came from that city, that literal city. Yeah, he's a literal person. How could he be a literal person if he didn't come from a literal city? If he came from a literal city, how could he be anything but a literal person? See, people argue about that. They just don't think heaven is literal. They just don't think all these things about the future are literal. They just think it's all kind of fantasy, like it's some kind of crazy dream, something somebody dreamed up. No. Everything about God's literal thing. Everything about heaven is literal. Everything about hell is literal. If you don't believe it, you just keep living for the devil, and you're going to feel those flames one of these days. I'm not happy about that. I'm right here because I want to turn you around. I want to turn you back. I want to turn you to the right way. I want to help you to find the King of Kings and live for him, because you will be the blessed person by living for him. Now, heaven is really real, and Jesus is really the Savior. And there is no blood that can wash away your sins but the blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Now, again, I'm encouraging you. I'm waiting. Hey, preachers, where are you at out there? There's so many ministers that listen. I hear from preachers all the time. And they may not tell anybody they listen to me. And may not even want people to know they listen to me. But I've had a voice that's been heard for a long time. And people tend to at least want to hear whatever the last thing is I'm saying. And this was amazing to me, even Tim LaHaye. Nobody's written as many books about the rapture probably than Tim LaHaye. Many, 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 many books with his name in them. And he used to tell people, if you want to hear the last word on prophecy, you always go to Brother Chambers. Now, I didn't deserve that. I never did feel like I really deserved that. But I do know that I live in this Bible. And I do know that every answer I give, I do my best to give it right out of the book. I'm not going to give you something I got to answer to God for someday, and I'd be wrong. I'll stay up all night digging in scriptures to make sure I know what I'm saying to you. It's just that near. It really is. Hey, I want to thank Allen Church for my new Bible. I've got a brand new Bible that he bought for me. He's been one of my helpers and listeners for a long time. But forgive me. Well, I'll get that later. For a long time, and it really is nice. And I'm claiming this as my last Bible. My last. I'm going to wear it out. And when I get through wearing it out, I'm praying to God I'm wore out. You know, there's just so long I can stay in here. But I'm here because I care. And I'm here because I love you. You are important to me. You are really important to me. So I thank him for that Bible. And thank all of you. It seems to me that our contributors have really grown lately. We're just making a lot of new friends. The theology of the world has gone so crazy. I guess that's one of the reasons that more and more people are turning to us, is because you really know what you're going to get when you turn on Open Bible Dialogue, Open Bible Telecast. You know what you're going to get. You know you're going to get just the best of our ability to give you the straight truth of the Bible. The straight truth of the Bible. And to me today, today's program is one of the most excited I ever remember. To think about the literal city of heavenly Jerusalem. The literal city of heavenly Jerusalem. Where Jesus came from. Where Jesus went back to. And where Jesus is coming from again, when he comes back to this earth, he will first come not to the earth, but in the heavens. That's the rapture. See, the rapture is distinct from the end time, from the coming, the second coming, in that the rapture, he doesn't come to the earth. He only comes into the midair, the midair. And the trumpet sounds, and he calls us up, and we meet him in the air. We meet him in the air. And where do we go? We go back to heaven. We go back to heaven with him where all the end time scenario will begin to transpire. I mean, there'll be a marriage supper up there and the saints of God will be right in the middle of it. While the marriage supper's up there, there'll be a tribulation period down here. And all the wicked will be right in the middle of that. And there'll be many people turning to Christ, and the Antichrist will be killing them by the millions. He will slaughter them like they're pigs. He will treat them with the worst of treatment. Can you imagine during the tribulation period? Here's this little 16-year-old girl, and she's a beautiful little lady. She's heard the truth all of her life, but never gave her heart to Jesus. Just kept putting it off. She was enjoying her friends, and she was going with her boyfriends, and she was all busy, and she wouldn't take time to get saved. She wouldn't take time to live for Christ, and maybe mama didn't care to help her. I see so many parents that half go to church and half take their kids, and I think, how insane can a mama be to not take her children to church? I mean, that's insanity. That is insanity. There's no other answer for it. And this little girl is 16, and the Antichrist goes after her. And she gets captured and picked up and taken to a place to re-educate her. And she won't change. And they rape her. And they treat her like a dog. And she still won't change. And they finally will kill her. And of course, that will be satisfaction after all she's been through is to die. They will seek death and can't find it, the Bible said. But you can have another scenario where you have a little girl and she doesn't know much, and she finally submits to that old Antichrist beast, and she gives in to him. And of course, when she gives in to him, she takes the mark of the beast. And the moment you take the mark of the beast, you've signed up with the devil. You've had a born-again experience, but it's a born-again experience with the devil. And you become part of his kingdom. And you become wicked just like him. And then she will do the same things to others that they did to her. They'll try to convict them. Oh, you're talking about hell on earth. You know, friend, you don't have any idea of the stuff that's going to take place. I could sit here and tell you one scenario after the other that is going to be breathtaking. And if you don't get right with God, you're going to be part of it. You're going to be here in this pig pen of mess, this pig pen of sorrow. And I'm begging of you, turn to Christ. Now, I got to go. I'm preaching in the morning right here in the sanctuary. I'd love to have you. Oh, I'd love to have you. If you know you need to get saved, come ready to get saved. I promise you there'll be an invitation in the morning and an altar open for you to go and kneel and give your heart and life to Christ because there's nothing more important. Well, tell your friends about us. Don't forget you have an obligation to help us on the financial end of this ministry. I've never been good at asking for money. I've always been terrible. We've had to be a mom and pop operation many times because there was not enough money. I sure would like to see that end, and you could help make it end, okay? You are precious to us. I love being a blessing. I promise you I do want you to grow in the Lord and to grow in the spiritual things of Christ. I love you. Love to see you in God's house tomorrow. Let me make sure I got this on here. Yeah, I think I have. God bless you. I love you.
And life is worth the living just because he lives. And then one day I'll cross that river. Fight life's fine.
sing the chorus with her. Come on.
And because he lives,
I can face
tomorrow.
Hallelujah.
Because he lives.
Hallelujah.
All fear is gone. Because I know, yes, I know,
yes,
he
I know.
Holds my future. Because